This morning our scripture is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one verse. I have other verses going along with the message today, and ways that we can serve the Lord. As you read and study the scriptures, you find all different ways and methods and practices in serving the Lord. And actually it starts in Genesis and goes all the way through Revelations as far as how we can serve the Lord and see how the Lord directs in a series of messages concerning discipleship. We can learn even more and more even as we're serving. Some of you are serving faithfully, have been, and some may be thinking about getting involved in thinking about how God can use you in certain areas of ministries of the church. And I hope that these scriptures and the message will speak to you in a way that you will be open. You know, we can hear and grasp a lot of things in our mind, but until it settles in our hearts, we usually don't act upon it. So I hope that the motivation of scriptures will, and what Jesus says himself about being a disciple, pick up our cross and follow him. So if you will look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one verse here, which says, "For God has not destined us for wrath or anger." He hasn't done that. He hadn't destined us. He didn't want to pour wrath in his anger. Of course, judgment is coming one of these days. But that's not his intention now. We are to serve him and serve him willingly. And then it says, "But for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." And if you look in John chapter 3, verse 17, it said, "I didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through me," meaning Jesus Christ. So that's why he came into this world. And then he showed us how to be a servant. He gave us the perfect example. He said, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve." And he certainly did that when he went to the cross and died for our sins. So when you're looking at this verse 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, Paul speaks about turning from things, are, I would say, idols in our lives, to serve him. He certainly wants us to serve him, the true and living God. And this verse here, if you paraphrase it and look into the depths of the Greek translation of this particular verse, it is that we are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and willingly and lovingly, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. So one of the reasons God saves us is that we might serve him. We are saved to serve. We are saved to do ministries. You know, it's not about programs in a church. It's about ministry. And if you ever hear me speak, I don't say much about programs. I speak about ministries. Programs don't always work, do they? But ministries will work, especially when they're guided and directed by God. Now, to break down this word serve, is the Greek word, which means to yield obedience to or to submit. And we should pledge our allegiance to God, the Lamb of God, and serve him well in this life. And we can't do it afterwards. We have to do it in this life. Now, we will be serving the Lord in eternity, but we're practicing now, right? We want to get it right here. And that's why sports teams, that's why they practice, right? Before they go out on the floor. If you don't know the procedures and methods and the plays and things like that, you're going to be running around like, a bull in a china shop, not knowing what to do. But we're practicing what God wants us to do. And we do it willingly, wholeheartedly, as the Bible says, unto the Lord. And that's how we are to serve Him. Now, since we know that we should serve Him, then how should we serve Him? Service is a matter of a kind of activity. Activity means getting involved, engaging, or in other words, get in the game. We can be bystanders or bench warmers or whatever. We don't want to be sitting on the bench all the time, do we? We won't be engaged in the game. When I played sports in high school, I didn't like sitting on the bench. I usually didn't, but for those that did, you know, they're learning their potential of getting in the game eventually. And as new Christians, as novelists, as the Bible says, we learn. We get into the Word of God and we learn. We drink the milk and then we get on to the meat of the Word. And then the Holy Spirit engages us to get involved in the activity and do something for the Lord. So, serve is a matter of activities, getting involved. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, it says, and Jesus, your translation may say, and he, it says, Jesus summons the crowd with his disciples and said unto them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's not the same cross that Jesus died on. It's the way that we serve him. The methods and way that the personality and the character and that he has instilled the gift in our lives to pick up our cross, to bear our cross, to bear the burdens of this world and serve him willingly is what Jesus is talking about. If we want to follow him, that's what we have to do. So, I know we have educators and especially English teachers in our midst, so I have to be careful sometimes how I analyze verses and scriptures and sentences and so forth. But I looked at this verse this morning, and in the English language, action is expressed by verbs. And there are modifiers which are called, I believe, adverbs. Is that right, Nancy? So far, I'm good. I'm doing good, okay? And each one of my points this morning, there's three letters, I-L-Y, it ends with that, which are, I call, adverbs indicators, all right? Now, adverbs make clear and more precise the action of the verb. Is that right? See, I loved English after I got in college. I didn't like it in high school and stuff, but I loved it in college because they broke it down, made it clear and plainer, and I learned to love English. And that speaks well of how we look at the scriptures and how we, our lives, are to engage into the activity, because our lives are to be active. We are to be involved. We are to get in the game and do something for the Lord. So now, first of all, the ways that we can serve the Lord is we serve Him daily. If you should go to Acts chapter 2, starting somewhere around verse 42, it tells us that they met daily. They broke bread. They was in unity together. They were praising and studying the Word of God as the apostles taught them, and they even sold their goods and went out and helped other people. So they actually put what they knew in practice. They went out and did something, and they worshiped and they served daily. You know, if we're serving one another, the Bible says it's if as we are serving the Lord Himself. So how often does God let us partake of His divine benefits? How often does He do that? Well, according to Psalmist, every day. Every single day. Matter of fact, in Psalm 68, verse 20, it tells us, Our God is a God who saves. He saves us. And then it goes on to say, the sovereign Lord rescues us from death. So he saves us, he rescues us from death. That's eternal destruction. And sets us up that we might be able to serve him. We should be motivated. I mean, when he saves us, I mean, he wipes our slate pretty well clean. He does. I mean, there's other things that enter in our life after that, but we are to ask forgiveness for that each day and serve him willingly, not having any obstacles in our life that would distract or keep us from serving the Lord. And there's a lot of distractions. There are a lot of things, like the things and idols that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 talked about a while ago. And that way it keeps the anger of God away. It helps us to understand that he loves us and he will provide for us and help us along the way. So, since this is true, then it stands to reason we should serve him every day of our life. And that should be a motivation of our service according to Acts chapter 2, verse 26, what it says, no wonder my heart is glad. When you're serving the Lord, Acts chapter 2, verse 26 says, no wonder my heart is glad. No wonder. And my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope. Now, body rests in hope. When you rest, you have your hopes that you're going to wake up the next day and be able to do it again. Repeat. Day after day after day, serving the Lord. We serve him daily. Now, Ruth Graham, former evangelist Billy Graham's wife, said, worship is not one day a week event. It's a lifestyle. Shouldn't it be a lifestyle as a Christian, as we get saved? It's something that's automatically ingrained into our lives. The Holy Spirit moves in, takes up residence in our life, and it motivates us and equips us in order to serve. And that's what Mrs. Graham is saying. It's a lifestyle. It's an attitude that says, here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me. That was Isaiah's response after he had seen the Lord high and lifted up. Wouldn't that be amazing to see that? As Isaiah saw it, and we can see it as well, as we sing, as we read the Word of God, as we engage and get busy and doing something for the Lord, as Braxton Hunter said when he was here and preached our revival back in November. Do something. Get up and do something for the Lord. And she goes on to say, he had worshiped the Lord, now he was ready to serve the Lord. And so should we. Now, let's look at a second thing, ways we can serve the Lord. Serve him heartedly. With a whole heart. Heart, soul, and mind. As Jesus said, if we are to love him that way, why not serve him with our heart, soul, and mind? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, we find the words, do your work heartedly. And the rest of that verse says, as unto the Lord. So, if you work, you got a job. Each one of us have a job. And thank goodness our government employees are going back to work. Right, Nancy? Amen. And Steve and others that might be government employees. And whatever we do, whatever type of work, we do. If you're a ditch digger or whatever, and that's a good job. It's laboring. It's doing something good for mankind. Or whatever we do is good for mankind, and especially unto the Lord, because we give him the glory. And the Bible says, whatever we do in this life, don't do it as grudgingly. Don't look at, I hate this job. I hate what I'm doing. If you're doing it that way, we're looking at the wrong perspective of where God has placed us. And he places you in the church to do the same thing, and we are to love it. And we do it as this scripture says, Colossians 3:23, do it as we do it, are doing it unto the Lord, because He placed us there. Whatever position you're in life, no matter if it's church or secular work or whatever, God has placed you there for a reason, and you can be a witness, a positive witness, if you show that you like what you do, because you know that God put you there. And you can be a witness and a mentor to others to do the same. And if they complain, say, hey, you're doing this unto the Lord. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing it unto the Lord. And it'll make a difference in your life when you look at it that way. So there should be a life and vitality in all that we do for the Lord in this life. This life. We only have one go around in this life here, and then it's eternity. So do all you can do for the Lord. So now we should not express deadness or dullness as we obey and do the mission or the ministry in the name of our Heavenly Father. That's what we should be doing. You've probably seen beginning of Mission Impossible. You've seen those movies before. And I never figured it out why you called it Mission Impossible, because the agent always came through and got the job done, didn't he? Why didn't they call it Mission Possible? Because you know he's going to go through the struggles and the hardships of getting the job done, but he said Mission Impossible. And nothing is impossible with God, is it? Jesus himself said that. So, but when the agent accepts a mission, so we admire this special agent accepting the mission and all the risks that go along with it. We admire him. And the truth is, we envy this man because he is willing to live his life on the edge and seize the adventure, the moment. See? He is willing to take risks so he can be the hero and save people's lives from the enemy. That's what he did. And he was successful. He listened to the tape, and in 5 seconds it burned up, right? And he better not forget what it was about. You know, we shouldn't forget what the instructions of the Word of God. And sometimes I think we forget, but we need to go back. We can always go back and read the Bible. It doesn't self-destruct, does it? It never will. And it never has, and it never will self-destruct. And the missions and the ministries that God provides for you and I to serve are ongoing. Ongoing. And He's always there to support us. See, truth is, each of us here today can do the same thing for the Lord. The people around us in our own community, in your own little community in which you live, you can serve the Lord. You just have to be willing to, like the special agent in Mission Impossible, take the risk, accept a mission, get out of your comfort zone. You like to get out of your comfort zone? Any of you? Not always, do you? But it's okay. And really serve the Lord through the adventure. So our life is on a journey, an adventure. And we are to enjoy the life that God has given us. All right, third thing that we can do to serve the Lord, we serve Him mightily. And we can do that because He gives the power to do that through the Holy Spirit. In Colossians Chapter 1, verse 29, speaks of laboring according to His working in us, which works in me mightily. Talking about the Lord, talking about the Holy Spirit, working through us mightily. We can't do it on our own. That's why Jesus said, you disciples, you know, look at yourselves. You're pitiful. But if you abide in me, you can do anything. You can remove mountains through prayer. The obstacles in our lives, the hardships in our lives can be removed if we trust the Lord and pray. See, our service should be what? Full power and divinely anointed by God. Our lives are and will be if we trust Him. And that's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. See, God is not glorified with a weak, sick, anemic, powerless ministry, but by the full power and divine anointing of God in our lives. Now, moving on. We serve Him voluntarily. We serve Him voluntarily as servants. Now, looking at Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 12, speaks of voluntary offerings. This particular verse talks about a prince going to through the gate, the eastern gate, into the temple, where they offered sacrifice, burnt offerings, and peace offerings. And if you read on into verse 13, it talks about they did it early in the morning, morning after morning after morning. And once that offering was given voluntarily, freely, it was called free will offering. You offering of yourself, the free offering, free gift to God as a worship, as a praise, as a self-sacrifice. And once the prince and the ones that went in and offered their free will offering, their self, as a service to God, they left and the gate was closed until they could return. The gate was opened again for people to come in and make a free offering. See, the doors are always open here at Versailles Baptist Church for us to come in, to us to serve. Come in and say, hey, what can I do today? How can I serve in this church? How can I make a difference this year, maybe 2019? How can I help in this? See, and God is not glorified if we're not doing something for Him. And when we look at this particular verse, you know, we can analyze and look at servants versus volunteer. Servants do work with God, are called by God, are by the hand of God. Volunteers do the work for God. Servants do work with God. Volunteers get tired of work, right? We overwork ourselves sometimes, right? We take on. That's why everybody that's within the church can engage. And that way no one has to get tired and burn out, right? If we all do our part. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or Romans chapter 12 talks about all the gifts, and everybody is given a gift at the will of the Lord. So we're all different in different ways, and God gives us different gifts to serve Him cheerfully and happily and joyfully. Him. And servants are tired in the work. Does that look like you? You're just all tired, and the Lord comes up behind you and picks you up and puts you back on solid ground and gives you the strength to keep on going. Volunteers pray that their work will succeed, and we do. We're supposed to pray about that in our lives. Servants succeed as they pray too for their work. Volunteers serve from their commitment. And we are committed. If you're not serving, but you can. And you can be committed. God loves committed servants. And servants serve with their surrender. Surrender. Yield. We yield to ourselves. We yield and surrender. And you know what? We do that on a daily basis. As soon as you get up, you say, Lord, I surrender. I yield myself to You this day. It doesn't matter if you're a full-time church leader. Whatever job you go to, you can serve God and serve Him faithfully where you are. And that's the great thing about being a child of God. And then, servants are pleased to come and stay. Stay where you are and be used to God where you are while you are here on this earth. See, we should serve the Lord, not because we feel that we have to, but because we want to, out of gratitude of what He has done for us. And then lastly, serve Him worthily. In Ruth chapter 4, verse 11, "And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman,'" talking about Ruth, "'come into thine house like Rachel and Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and to the worthily in Bethlehem.'" And another word for Bethlehem is Ephrathah. Ephrathah is another Hebrew word for Bethlehem. And Boaz was praised for his openness and his surrender to open up and allow people to come. And he was made famous because of his willingness to obey God and allow those to come in and be servants, and they were used mightily of God. They set the example, and Boaz set the example right here, to serve worthily. Now, we should serve in a way that is complementary to the character of Christ and His gospel. See, Jesus led the pathway. He led the path for us to be able to serve because He set the example to show us exactly how to do that. Now, in conclusion, I was reading a story about one day Billy Graham and Ruth was traveling. They was going through the stretch of a road of construction, and we've been doing that as well, haven't we, this past year? And no matter where you go, there's always construction going on. And they had numerous slowdowns and detours and stops along the way. And finally, they reached the end of the difficulty and smooth pavement and stretched that before them. And there was a sign that caught Ruth's eye, which said, "End of constructions. Thanks for your patience." And she said, "That would be a good thing, inscription to be on my tombstone. End of construction." You know, we're in construction. Our lives are in construction each day. And we need to be patient as God works out those kinks and things in our lives to prune us, to make us better, to make us more worthily in our service to Him. Now, as a matter of fact, those words fit all of us as believers, because in life we are under construction, right? God's not through with us yet. You've heard Helen Peck say that. "God ain't done with me yet, because I'm under construction." So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we begin the lifelong process of spiritual growth. And the Holy Spirit works in us to remove our selfishness. That means we've got to get out of the way so the Lord can work in us and through us. To renew our thinking, our mind has to be, we have to rethink sometimes. We have old thoughts and we hang on to them. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. And Romans chapter 12 verse says, you know, we need new thinking. Need to get on the same page with the Lord. And then to develop qualities in us that are more and more Christ-like. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 14, if you want to read that sometime today, Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 14, talks about development quality in our life that are more and more and more like Jesus. Now, Paul describes this, the work of God, in Philippians chapter 1. I love this verse. You need to memorize this verse. It's an excellent verse to memorize, which says, "He who has begun a good work." See, God doesn't do bad work, because everything He created in this world, He called it what? Good. Even you. Even me. We're good. He called it good work. in you and will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. When he comes again or when we meet him face to face, that work will be completed. So as we travel towards heaven, let us cooperate with God's construction of our lives. When he works in us, when his work is complete, you know, we shall be what? Like him. We shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Perfectly conformed to our Savior's likeness. Now, I want to give you some food for thought this morning. How do we see things? Do we always see things as God sees them? God sees hearts. What do we see? Faces. We don't always see like God sees, but he knows you in and out through. See, he sees our hearts. We're not always looking at people's hearts. But we know our own heart. The Spirit testifies that, the Bible says. So he's looking at your heart this morning. I'm looking at faces this morning. I'm looking at bodies out there this morning. And I think I know most of your hearts, where you are in your relationship with the Lord and your spiritual growth and what you're willing to do for the Lord. And what do we do? Let's do it wholeheartedly as we are doing it unto the Lord. And you'll see a difference in your life. You'll be more motivated. You'll be more excited. You'll be happier. You're happier when you're serving the Lord. If you're not, you're not serving the Lord. If you're not happy and joyful in your relationship, because we are to do something for the Lord. Get up and do something, right, for the Lord. That's what Braxton Hunter said when he was here, according to the Scripture. And that's scriptural. That's not my, thus saith Mike, Pastor Mike. It's scriptural. Do something for the Lord. Let's see people. Let's see ministry as God sees the heart of it and just not the overall face of it. May we pray. Father God, we praise you. We thank you this morning that you give us scripture. We have your word, the Bible, to help us understand your mind. The Bible is the mind of God. It's a mind of you, because you inspired the writers through the power of the Holy Spirit to write down exactly what we needed to know. First of all, who you are, your great love for us, how we can be saved through Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross. And once we know that we are a part of your family, that we've accepted Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit lives within our hearts, then should motivate us day by day, not just when we think about it, but day by day, to be more engaged into the ministries and the calling and the serving of your Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is also right in the midst of all of this. And your Holy Spirit is always at work, revealing to us what we need to do, that we need to get more involved, be more serving, more committed, more faithful. And it has to go very deep to the heart as you see our hearts. You're not looking at our faces, you're looking at our heart. Are we really, really in love with you and want to serve you wholeheartedly, worthily? And Lord, I know you love all of us here this morning, and your intent and your desire is for us to do the best we can what you have given us spiritually. You have fitted us and equipped us to do ministry. If there's anyone here too, Lord, that hasn't received you as their personal Savior, Lord, they can today. Through this invitation as we sing, Lord, let your will be done in each one of our lives. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be stirred this morning. This new year, January's over half gone. We're facing February. And Lord, there's so much for us that we can do. You have given us so much, shown us so much. May we take it as our adventure and our journey through this life to do all we can do wholeheartedly as we do it unto you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing hymn number 101.